Hello and welcome to the programme. You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. So, another busy programme ahead of us tonight. Annie Nilana and Richard Collins are here with me right now. I think Niall Hatch is going to join us later. And we'll be hearing from Terry Flanagan. How are you guys? All good?
Bearing up. We're all well. Good is an adjective. We weren't bold. No, we're not good. We're well.
Well, what are you, Richard, dare I ask?
Well, I'd love to be a bold boy, but I've always been too scared to be really bold.
You'd be afraid. You went to the Jesuits, didn't you? They wouldn't let you be bold.
I did. I went to the Christian Brothers for 6 years, and I went to the Jesuits for a further 6 years. Two completely contrasting views of the world.
You must be totally confused.
Well, yeah, confusion is a good thing. It makes you try and sort it out, you know. I've been trying to sort it out now for more decades than I'd like to mention.
It's a while since you were a bold boy all the same now, isn't it?
Was I a bold boy?
Anyway, Richard, a voice message came in from Des McLaughlin. Have a listen.
Hi, Derek. It's Des McLaughlin. I met with you on the Weir Dodder Road just now. I used to work with Richard years ago, so please say hi to him for me. I took some nice photos of a heron with a cormorant standing just behind in some branches at Orwell Waterfalls, a little back on the Dodder Walk towards Clonskee. The cormorant was flapping the wings as if to dry them in the sun. I said I'd send them to you, so here they are. Separately, I have a question for you to pass on to Richard. The swans at Bushy Park have mostly gone now, except for one cygnet and the mother. The cygnet is probably the smallest of the three that survived from hatching this summer, has some quite patches of feathers, but is still there in the lake at Bushy Park and didn't fly away like the siblings. The mother is there most days. I wonder what's happening. Another observation during the summer. The male cob used to bully a particular mallard hen on the lake. There could be 10 to 20 ducks in the general vicinity, but the cob used to bully a particular mallard hen. The cob would swim along the edge, blocking the hen from getting into the water. The drake would walk alongside the hen, but neither would dare enter the water. Again, have you any ideas about what's happening here? Thanks. Really enjoy your show.
Very interesting questions, very informative questions in some ways. The cormorants with their wings spread out. Traditionally, they said cormorants dived and they got wet and they had to dry out when they came up and they held out their wings to dry. But some years ago now, I read an article which claimed that it was actually to do with their
digestion.
They're holding up their muscles. But some parents were holding out their wings in the rain. Whoever said they were drying the feathers mustn't have ever looked properly at them.
Well, that theory, I think, is now the one that people hold. But you'll have to check with the cormorant people to know that. But there is at the bottom of the stomach, the pyloric region of the stomach, a duct. And this is the passage into the small intestine. Now, that is, according to this article, is enlarged in cormorants, which means, therefore, it takes longer for food to go down. And the suggestion was that this is a kind of extra stomach, or almost. In other words, the cormorant eats one big fish and then he sleeps for the rest of the several hours. He doesn't need to eat again, but he needs to digest the fish fully. Now, birds don't digest things fully. They want to get the residue out of their bodies as fast as possible because they're flying animals. So this suggestion is that the cormorant, like you after your Christmas dinner, Derek, when you're puffed out and you open your belt and you lie back in front of the fire and another glass of port and you let it all hang out and you are digest your meal. And they're suggesting, he was suggesting.
Well, I don't flap my wings.
Well, your wings are your arms. You're not flapping them down again.
No, I don't. But the cormorant is standing there on the rock and occasionally flapping the wings. Are you sure it's not drying its feathers?
He doesn't flap them much. He holds them out for the wind to dry them normally, I think.
Well, I saw the video.
Did you?
And we have it online. You can have a look at it on the website, rte.ie/Mooney. You can see the bird. I'm only asking. I mean, maybe that also helps stimulate and move everything
around. But you're not a cormorant, so why would you?
No, I'm not a cormorant. I'm just
asking. So why would you expect to be flapping your arms? Because the cormorant is like
to have. But if you want to move, apart from eating a lot of roughage, a little bit of a walk helps. So maybe by flapping its wings, that also helps to move things along. But equally, it could be drying the wings.
Yes, flapping them dry. Very good advice anyway, coming up to Christmas, I would suggest.
So was just learning the Heimlich manoeuvre.
We don't know why they do these things. It's not a rational thing. It's an automatic thing. But it didn't evolve for nothing.
Okay, on to the second point. He said he worked with you. Do you remember him?
Des McLaughlin. Is it that the same Des? Yeah. Hello, Des. How are you?
Anyway, he wants you to know about the swans.
Yeah, the swans. Well, now, the swans are a curious case, all right. Bushy Park swans, I gather. Now,
yes.
Swans in places like Bushy Park, at this time of year, the food supply is run down. They've eaten out all the water weeds. Remember at the peak of the season when the youngsters are growing, they're eating up to 3.5 kilos of wet vegetable matter every day. Now, the ponds in a place like Bushy Park can't supply that. It's an artificial pond. It's drained every so often. So the food tends to run out. Now, what usually happens then is that the pair take their children onto the nearby river, and they have a much greater area now. They can go up and down, they can get food and all that kind
of thing.
That's
the daughter, which is plenty of stuff.
Onto the daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
In this case, what may have happened now, I'm reading into it, I'm projecting all sorts of assumptions into this. It may be that the male has taken the other swans, the other cygnets who were stronger and bigger. The male possibly took them onto the river, but the last one, the runt of the litter, shall we say, was probably a bit on the weak side and lingered on, unwilling to go. And the mother stays with it, sort of thing. And it's hoping to get by on handouts from the public. Not the best source of food, but better than nothing.